In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Eleanor McCullen today. Eleanor has something that she wants to read to us. It's really profound, and it's something that we need to hear as we celebrate the third week of Advent.
Well, hello, Father, and hello, everyone. It's nice to be here, and Christmas is coming. And our Gospels, the last few weeks, are all about waiting for Jesus to come. And Jesus is coming. And are you ready? And so I'm going to read this. It's a poem. And Father asked me to read it to you, and I'd be happy to. And the title of the poem is, "'Twas the Night Before Jesus Came." "'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying. Not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker with baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus, returning just like he had said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life, which he held in his hand, was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, "It's not here," my head hung in shame. The peoples whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose without a sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long, and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life. And when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all.
That's very sobering, because you know what, it's Christmas and we're preparing to buy everyone gifts, and I even wonder why we buy gifts. It's all about the wise men who gave gifts to Jesus, and we don't even think about that. Mm-hmm. And this is the time for us to be ready for the coming of the Lord. I'm not talking as a baby. I'm talking as the glorified Jesus coming to greet the people who believe. Remember what it says in Luke 18. Will God find faith on the earth when Jesus comes? Well, you see, in this poem, there was no faith in the household. What about you? What about me? Yes, is there faith? Faith in the household that we believe that Jesus is coming in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. Do you believe that? Are you ready to see him? Are you ready to meet him? Is your name written in the book of life? You say, well, I've baked cookies for the church. I don't care if you baked cakes for the church. Is your faith intact in Jesus, in the Father, and in the Holy Spirit? Are you ready for him to come back? Where are you spiritually today? Oh, you're buying gifts for everyone else but Jesus. This is very interesting because Jesus is forgotten. Jesus is forgotten, and we must not forget Jesus. He is the Lord, and he is the coming, the soon coming King. The soon coming King.
Yeah, that's true, Father. I remember when we used to read about Jesus would return and would there be faith. I used to say, oh, really? Oh, of course there'll be faith. That was when I was, I don't know, extremely optimistic maybe or naive. And as I grew and saw and I see exactly what he meant when he said, will I find any faith? And that always makes me sad, like to think everything that he's done for us and he continues to do for us, and there wouldn't be faith. It's very sad for me to even think that. But it's true. I mean, you look all around and you wonder what people are, they're in the malls shopping when on Sunday morning. And as you say, Father, it's all wrapped up in presents. In one way, that's good because the presents are for other people, so you're trying to make a Christmas for other people. And so looking at from that angle, that's an unselfish thing. But what happens is that becomes kind of their religion, doing so much that, as you say, Father, they just forget the real meaning of Christmas. So I think shopping is good, trying to make a Christmas for your family, buying the food for the table. It's all about making somebody else have a good Christmas. But at the same time, just remember Jesus and just settle down a few minutes every day in the morning or in the evening and just let Jesus speak to you, let him minister to you, let him hold you, let you will feel his peace, you will feel his mercy, it will flood over you like an ocean, and you'll get that peace. And once we have peace, then we can give peace to other people. If we're all hurrying and scurrying and here and there, and then we don't have peace. So then when we meet somebody that needs some help, we really don't have peace to sit down and talk to them. So first the peace comes into us. And how does that happen? We go to the Lord and say, I'm here. I love you. I worship you. I thank you. I thank you for all the things you have given us, all the blessings. Even in adversity, you think, oh gosh, you know, this is wrong. This is wrong. But there, in all of the adversity, there is a blessing. How many times do we say it could have been worse? So we come in with grateful hearts to our God. We settle down. We listen to his voice. We let him minister to us. We receive peace and mercy, and we give him his just due. And then if you want to go out and do a little shopping, that's perfectly fine.
On Saturday evening, we went out to dinner, and I'm going to tell you, we saw hundreds of cars leaving the mall. They just was the longest line like I've ever seen, unless you were on the Southeast Expressway. This is something. And I said, I wonder how many of these people are even thinking about Jesus. How many of these people care about Jesus? We need preachers today to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead. We need people that are not going to be ashamed to speak about Jesus. We need people at the abortion mill. We need people everywhere to speak about Jesus, the Lord, the King of glory, the King of kings.
Absolutely, Father, and we appreciate you being the voice, the crying out in the desert, the John the Baptist, Father. And crying out in the desert, we're all doing that. We're trying the best. And sometimes people say to me, well, what are you doing at Planned Parenthood? I mean, really? So how many abortions happened there, and how many children, how many mothers were you able to talk to and they saved their children? Oh, such a small amount. I mean, really, aren't you wasting your time? time. But I remember reading about Mother Teresa, Father, and she received a lot of criticism. They said, the poor in India, there's so many poor people. I don't know, I'll make it up, like thousands and thousands of poor people. So you go along the street and you pick up one poor person. I mean, really, you're not stopping poverty. And so what are you doing, Mother Teresa? And her answer was, each life is valuable. Each life deserves dignity. And I'm doing the best I can, one person at one person, and my sisters are, we're doing one person and one person. I'm not saying we're cutting out all the poverty in India, but we're treating one person with dignity. We're helping that person. That person will die in one of our sisters' arms, and he will have salvation. And that's what we're doing. So anybody that's listening, and whatever you're doing, people might criticize you. I don't care what it is right now. And they say, well, what is the advantage? How many rewards do you have? It's not about how many. It's about the quality of your care, even if it's just one person, and you're doing that. In the bigger picture, the Lord will take care of that. But we are called to do our best, wherever we can. Just one person is extremely important, and then you go to the next person, just like Mother Teresa went along the streets, and many died in their arms. But of course, it continues. Poverty continues. But she went and she did her very best, and that's what Father's trying to encourage us to do. Don't get discouraged. Just keep working, doing your best, preaching Jesus Christ, one person at a time, and just never think about, oh my, I'm not doing that much. You're doing a lot, especially when you do it for the glory of God. You say, you know, in the reading yesterday, pray unceasingly. And people say, how can I do that? I can't pray all day. Well, you can pray through your actions. You talk to somebody, you hold their hand. You say to them, I'm sorry you're having this difficulty. And it's one person. But it's beautiful, and that's a prayer. It's a prayer. It's a prayer when you go to work and you're a nurse. You say to the Lord, this is my prayer. I give you all my work today as a school teacher, as a policeman, as a fireman. That's a prayer. You give your work to God and say, bless my day, and all I do for you is for your glory.
It is very, very important that we see this time of the year is a time for us to be ready for the coming of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians, the Word of God said, rejoice always. This is Gaudete Sunday. Rejoice Sunday. How do you rejoice? If you went to a football game and you saw a touchdown, everybody's rejoicing. They're all screaming. But here we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us through Paul, rejoice always. You know, yesterday what I had the people do was I said, let's start rejoicing. Mm-hmm. And we all sang hallelujah in our own way. And you could hear the rejoicing in our church. We did it 3 or 4 times. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks. Give thanks. I remember when I was on the Lynn Marsh Road many years ago going to teach, and my car hit the ice, and it was going round and round and round. And I started saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Boom. Hit a pole. But you know what? It was okay. It was okay. I was talking with Betty the other night. Betty has fourth stage cancer for the last 14 years. And God has just done wonders in her. The doctor said, you're a miracle. She said, I know I'm a miracle. But she was telling me the story about her car that wouldn't start. And so what happened is she got a jump. And then when she went out on the road, she said the car wouldn't go any more than 5 miles an hour. And finally she got to her job, and across the street was her garage. The man opened the hood and said, you couldn't have come here. The everything is destroyed in your car. The strap is destroyed. How did you get here? She said, the angels pushed me.
Beautiful.
The angels pushed me, you see. That's a woman with faith. That's a woman with faith. That's a woman with faith. Do you have faith today? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in his precious birth death, and resurrection. Do you have faith today? Give thanks always, for this is the will of God for you. It is the will of God that we continually thank the Lord. Do not quench the Spirit. You know, even in liturgy we can quench the Spirit. We become so involved with the book that we forget that the Holy Spirit wants to do things through the book. Oh yes, through the book. If you only listen to the prayers, I've been listening and saying, Amen, like I'm hearing them anew. Refrain from every kind of evil. Get away from that computer. Stop looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. It's time to give your life to the Lord. May the God of peace make you perfectly holy, and may you entirely, spirit, soul, and body, be presented blameless for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. The one who called you is faithful, and he will do it. Oh yes, the one who called you is faithful, and he will do it. In the book of Revelation, his name is Faithful and True.
Yeah, that's true, Father. And, you know, can I just take this little book and do the first reading? Because this first reading is from the book of Isaiah. However, it's for you. It's for you today that are listening to us today. It's definitely, it wasn't 2,000 or 5 million years ago when Isaiah was here. But this is for everybody that's listening. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now, everywhere we say me, you just say yourself. This is you. Put your name in there, because this is you. And it's beautiful, and it's uplifting. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners. To announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication by our God. I rejoice heartily in the Lord. In my God is the joy of my soul, for he has clothed me with a robe of salvation and wrapped me in a mantle of justice, like a bridegroom adorned with a diadem, like a bride bedecked with her jewels. As the earth brings forth its plants and a garden makes its growth spring up, so will the Lord God make justice and praise spring up before all the nations. And this is you. You've been commissioned to go out, and you're ready to do it. And so we say, go forward and proceed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus gave this 61st chapter of Isaiah when he went into the synagogue at Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, we are the ones that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. To open the eyes of the blind in spirit as well as physically, the ears of the deaf. Oh God, how many people are deaf to the Word of God? How many people are deaf to the person of Jesus? How many people? You know, today in front of Planned Parenthood, they're going in Christmas time to kill their children. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? It's always sad, but now at Christmas time, it's even worse because, well, tell us about the one with twins. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you, Father. And it's a story of how important it, now, the secular world would say, you what? You stood outside of Planned Parenthood and it was freezing cold and you were uncomfortable? Well, please, you wasted your time. But let me tell you how important it is to be there. 2 weeks ago, I wasn't there, but 2 weeks ago, Lillian was there. And I'm sorry, wait a minute. Her name is Lorraine. I want to make sure I get the name right. She was standing outside freezing cold, and out came a young woman who was in Planned Parenthood. Now, what happened when she was in Planned Parenthood? They did the ultrasound. They, as I have always said, they do the ultrasound so they can see the head size of the baby and to set the price. I mean, this is what they do. Set the price. They don't do the ultrasound so you can see it, so you can see the baby, so that you can see the heartbeat, so you can see little fingers and hands. No, they don't do it for that reason. But I do think there's a conscience in Planned Parenthood. Occasionally, we do see a conscience, because when they put the ultrasound on, they saw twins. The woman, the technician, saw two. And she said to the mother-to-be, would you like to see the picture? We have two here. So the technician, they do have a conscience sometimes. And so they pulled off the picture, they gave it to the woman, and the woman, she saw two, and she said, I have to leave, I have to get out of here, I can't do this. So she came out. Now you can imagine the emotion she was going through. She came here to take the life of one child. She knows she has two. She doesn't do it. She comes out, but guess what? Lorraine was there. And imagine having somebody that cares about you standing right out there and said, what's happening? And the woman's crying, and she's showing you the pictures. It's two. And so they hugged, and they loved, and we're going to help them. And it's beautiful. But if Lorraine wasn't there to, like, affirm the fact she left, you need, like, she's walking out, and she's thinking, what am I going to do now? But to have somebody there that hugs you and say, you made the right decision. It's going to be all right. We'll help you. It's going to be okay. God is with you. And so that is a sweet picture, and I'm so glad that we do have people there most all times. But guess what? We need more people. As the winter gets cold, people do stay home, and we need more people to come out. Bundle up, gloves and hats. It's perfectly fine. You can buy these hand warmers. You'll be fine. But just to be there is a sign of, we care about you. We care about your baby. And do we have time for me to give you a follow-up? I gave a story a couple of weeks ago. I don't know, it could have been a couple of months ago. Maybe you'll remember it. It's the couple that they were living in a car, and they received my card somehow. I know the story of how they received it, but it might be too long. So they had my card, and she was pregnant. She didn't know what to do. She was thinking of abortion. They're living in a car. They're homeless. So this is the couple that asked, they called me on the phone, member father, and they said, can we speak to Hope, Help, and Love? And I said, this is Hope, Help, and Love. So the rest is history. But the moral of this story is, we had the ultrasound done by a woman's concern in their stork mobile, the mobile unit that goes around town and goes to where you are and does the ultrasound. And she saw the baby, and she heard the heartbeat 155 times a minute. So she said, yes, I'll kill the baby, I'll keep the baby, but they're still homeless. So, but guess what happens, Father? Once you walk in faith, the Lord loves when we walk in faith. He opens windows and doors. This couple went on to have a beautiful baby girl. And they found some friends that said they could share their apartment for the next year while the baby gets to be 1 year old. The husband got a job. So when we met them, everything seemed upside down. It seemed like there's no hope here. But they walked in faith with a few people that also have faith. We walked together, and they have this beautiful baby girl, and life is good. They're not living in the car. They have the apartment. So what is the point of it? The point is, life is tough, but with faith, and you find people that believe in Jesus Christ, you don't go with people that are negative. You find affirmative people that say, it's going to be all right. We can help you. And the Lord loves that stuff, and He opens windows and doors, but you do have to take that step in faith. You do have to say, I walk with Jesus Christ. I know it's going to be all right. Help me, guide me, direct me, mercy me, grace me. And once you do that, the Lord acts, and it, Father, I've seen it time and time again, but that's our latest case of going from living in a car to having an apartment and a beautiful baby girl, and they're a married couple, and they are just filled with joy.
What about you today? Are you filled with joy? It's Gaudete Week, Joy Week. We need the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. We need it. We need it. And we need to know Jesus. We need to know Him as Lord and Savior. Not know about Him only, but know him. Oh, how much we need to know Jesus in these dark, perilous times. We are living in dark, perilous times. We are in need of salvation, and salvation came through Mary, the mother of Jesus, and she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger. I tell you, Jesus Christ is Lord, and he has plans for each one of us. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.